cliffcentral.com.
One of my two favorite female artists, that was Beyonce before this with Formation, and right now that's Send My Love to Your New Lover, Adele, a Grammy Award winning somebody, and a fantastic somebody all around. I'm not sure what's going on.
My mic is off.
Your mic is off? We have all the mics are on and popping.
Is it on?
Everyone's on. You're all on.
I can't hear me.
You guys just ruined my whole intro.
Volume?
Thank you.
Can I get volume there?
You got volume. You got everything.
Dude,
I don't know.
I can't hear myself.
All right. No, well, you know, it's okay. If you can't hear yourself, we can hear you. Don't worry.
Okay.
But welcome to the show. Right now, in the weekly mashup, it's 11. Wow.
Well, a little bit past 11.
It's more than 5 past. It's actually 8 minutes past 11. Today's show, we've got a special guest with us because we wanted to talk about this industry, man. I get a lot of people, all you guys out there on social media, asking me to hook you up with an agent or to hook you up with a spot in the industry or to hook you up with a job or something. And sometimes I'm like, it's not always possible because I'm not an agent. So I brought my agent, my super agent. This is my Jerry Maguire.
Okay.
And every other day I'm like, show me the money, Owen. But after we're done with this, please,
yeah,
don't blow up his phone to such an extent that, you know.
Hello, finally I'm
you
on.
Know? You've been on all along, by the way. It's just your earphones. You couldn't hear yourself.
Oh, is
don't
it?
Worry
okay.
about
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, guys.
Well, that's Candace complaining, as usual. She's not lovely today. She's not special.
What
She's just
ever.
Complaining, whinging, crying, Candace.
Whatever.
Like, seriously, you ruined the whole intro to that.
I'm so sorry.
I hope they edit that out of the podcast. I hope they
I'm
edit
sorry,
you out
guys.
Of the podcast.
Well, can I tell you how many people missed me, just by the way?
How many, actually? Because no one said anything on my social media
really?
Timeline. They were like, they didn't even mention you.
Yeah,
they said
so.
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I got DMs, as people do. People slide into my DMs. I don't know about you, but yeah.
Why are they sliding into your DMs, though, Candace?
Just to tell me they missed me on the show.
Is it?
That's all.
Are they not hitting on you and things like that most of the time?
Well, most men generally don't just start a conversation, but in this particular case, I'll
How
just
many of
take
those were female
intention.
DMs? Just people who wanted nothing from you, like at all. They didn't want to slide into something else.
Oh, full of lines today. Pow.
Yeah.
No, there were no females, just males.
I hope
whatever.
After what I just said, you don't, you know, like...
Kill you.
No, just like expose me for sexual harassment or anything like
just.
That, you know? Or behavior unbecoming of the workplace. I had the shock of my life last week.
You called me. I was like, the one time I'm not here.
You should have been here to protect me because we got some crazy colleagues and I'm not going to mention names, but
please
you know.
Don't, dear Lord.
Imagine I would like to. I would like to mention, but you know, I always hug everyone and I say nice things and stuff. And I was like, you know, great job in that other thing that you did, and I saw it, and you're wonderful, and blah blah. I'm just saying that because
okay.
I'm like, I saw what they did because obviously I'm on the judging panel
yes.
and stuff, you know.
So obviously, someone in the industry.
And I give you hugs almost like on every time I see you.
I
sometimes hug you three times in one day.
Yeah,
you know. Sometimes I'm like, did I just hug you?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. So then I get a very strange message afterwards. I mean, she went out of her way to ask people in the office, can she have my number?
Yes.
And I'm sure had these wonderful, really nice people known what the message was going to be, they would have said no. But they didn't know. They thought, it's a colleague. She probably wants to invite me to something
or
she wants to tell me something heartfelt. Because I've just complimented her, you know? And then I get the strange message, please, can we keep our distance going forward? Because clearly, you don't know how to differentiate between... I think the words were how we behave socially and how we should behave
professionally. Yeah.
And I was confused because I don't know what the difference is personally.
Yeah.
I think if I know you and like you, I just behave the same whether I mean except when we're in parliament or I'm in a court of law. And then
you
then
kind
of things change.
Damn.
Well, I've been in parliament a couple of times.
Okay.
I've been to parliament to listen to
Get
State of the
of
Nation
here.
Address a few times.
Just small things
on the side, you know, VIP tickets and all that.
Okay, Mr. A-lister. Yeah.
All I'm saying is
you just pointing out. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. And then I get this, and I'm like, I thought this was either a joke or maybe she was sending it to someone else. I'm like, no, it's me. You know, it's Dimitri. She's like, I know.
How cute.
So I'm like, but I'm confused. I just said, I was complimenting your stuff.
Oh, what a
She's like,
great
no, I think it's just best. We just keep our distance.
Oh, damn.
I was like, oh, okay, my bad.
You know, it's funny. I feel like she could just walk in at any second.
I hope she does and hears herself on my show. Because you know I'm about keeping it real.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's what happened.
It was, from what I've been told, well, through you, obviously, it seemed weird.
Would you tell me if I was a pervert?
I tell you all the time you're a pervert. But...
So you confirm you? No, that was not cool. Not at this time. You're in the court of law right now, and that's what you're gonna say. You're gonna make a joke.
It's not time for jokes right now. Sorry. No, I just think you're friendly, and that's I've never seen you do anything that you know needed me to put you in line or anything like that. So I don't know.
That's not because I don't think you're attractive, by the way. You know?
Everyone thinks I'm attractive.
Exactly, right? So if I was that, I should have done it by now, right? Okay, we're gonna move on. I just wanted to make that point.
Okay,
guys,
yeah.
Please, that's not necessary though. I mean, can we not do that?
You know what? I'm all for women standing up for themselves, but I just don't, I don't know.
I'm all for women standing up for themselves, but I think that shouldn't be weird.
But when it's appropriate. Yes, when it's appropriate. And when it's called for.
Yeah,
you know?
And people shouldn't cry wolf unnecessarily.
Yes.
Because then it actually messes it up for the other women who are actually in trouble.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I have a problem with.
Yeah. And you know, this week, mashing it up, I've been getting the strangest WhatsApp messages. Like, there's this WhatsApp text where people are on some, there's going to be these xenophobic attacks, you know, in the township. Be careful if you go into foreign-owned shops.
Oh, no.
They might have left expired food or poisoned the drinks as they retreat, you know. So don't drink the stuff and don't eat the stuff and send this to many others so we can save lives.
Well, if you're purchasing expired food, I think it's on you.
But I'm like, no, the point is, like, if there's going to be xenophobic, how about we just don't do the xenophobic attack in the first place? How about we just don't loot and pillage other people's stores and call it it's because we're poor? How about we just don't do that?
But why are they even coming back? I'm so at a loss. I mean, didn't we sort this out?
I thought we sorted it out. And I really hope that the government can do something
and stop it
about it. I know we as civil society should do something about it, and we're doing our bit.
Yeah.
I posted this morning on Instagram my feelings about that. I totally condemn what's going on there.
Yeah.
And I think it's wrong, you know, what we as a society have allowed ourselves to become.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that somehow, we can sort it out.
But I feel like somehow it's become so normalized. But like, I mean, the fact that people can forward messages like that tells you how normal it has almost become. And that's what's scary.
I also think, you know, the biggest problem right now with us in South Africa is, especially in the township, the mentality of poverty has taken over. And I'm not saying this to put anyone down, but there is a mentality of poverty that says, I'm poor because you are rich.
Oh, yeah.
Or my lack of success is because of your lack of success. So you've taken opportunity away by being successful.
Yes.
I was never there when you did what you did, when you were working hard. But the fact that it happened and you succeeded, you've taken it away from me.
Oh, yeah.
And that, I have a problem with that.
It's the lack of accountability.
And we need to, I guess it's from top to bottom, and we need to talk about it, those of us who are in civil society and are trying to make a difference. You know what I mean?
I think you need to make more of a noise about it. You know, like, just in terms of everyone needs to say something, but something productive. Like, don't go out there and tweet even more destructive crap, you know?
Yeah,
like, and
definitely.
That's the problem. People tend to retweet nonsense, and it never really gets us anywhere. Then we end up in a circle and we lose the core reason of why we are raising our voices in the first place. So,
exactly.
I don't know. This whole xenophobic thing, I don't know. It's just ridiculous.
Complete madness, huh?
Yeah. And it's like our own, you know what kills me? It's like our own brothers and sisters that are doing it to one another. It's not like you're looking at a foreign, you know, being.
Exactly.
It's like our own black brothers and sisters. Like, killing
you look alike, dude. Like, that looks like your cousin.
Just because I got a different accent.
Yeah, like from that other place. You know, that looks like your cousin from Soshanguve, and you know, why would you do that?
And I'm
to
not saying this as self-preservation, because I know.
Because you know, you look like you're from some other part of Africa.
So I'm definitely not saying this as self-preservation.
You look like you could be from Kenya or something.
Oh no, I get told all the time that I look Ethiopian. I can't even say
Ethiopian?
It. Ethiopian, Somalian.
Yeah, yeah. You're very East African.
Someone said Mauritian, and I was like, oh my, that sounds amazing.
Madagascan,
and then I went and like Googled it, and I was just like, there's really nothing exotic.
Little
about
do they know, this. You're just some Tswana girl.
West Rand girl.
From the West Rand.
Little do they know, with blue hair, Shem. You see, but they wouldn't know that because they wouldn't ask me questions.
Mm.
And if they did, I'd still get it wrong because I wouldn't know the answer.
Only if they saw the roots of your hair.
All I need is water.
Yeah, just a little bit of water, right? And it goes right back to its
roots. It goes home. It goes back to where it's from.
All right. We're going to go for, you know, we're not going to go for a commercial break, but we went to watch a movie last week.
Oh, fudge.
What do you think?
What madness. That's what I thought.
The weirdest thing is...
You know what's funny?
Yeah?
Firstly, myself, you, and Kayev from the other show, the Zim... I think it's called something different now. But anyway...
What was it called before?
And it was called Zim Conversation. But okay. Now it's like No Borders. It's called No Borders. Sorry, Kayev.
Okay.
So the three of us were just like narrating this whole movie the whole time. So we just have like this background commentary, yeah, like as something happened.
That was
like,
very black of us.
What the fuck? Run. Don't go back in there. Yeah, why are you going? Yeah. And it was like, you know, it's funny. Like, we got out of the movie and people were like, oh, I'm so disappointed there were no black people. I'm like, black people wouldn't pay for that shit.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We would never pay to go and suffer that, in a mountain.
No.
And
no.
get punished and not run away.
It made sense in that way. You know, at first I was like, why are we being excluded? Why are we not? And then I was like, but that shit makes sense.
Because if you get complaining from the time we get out the car,
you know,
we'd be like, I'm paying how much for this rickety ass place?
Yeah. And also just the car itself. Like, in this old S-Class. Like, I'm new money, right? So I need it to be a brand new S-Class.
Yes. And then on top, okay, so now you're like, you're not vintage.
Let's explain, because now it's a bit of an inside joke.
Okay.
So when you get there, it's like this. The Cure for Wellness is a movie set in some spa in Switzerland or something like that. And it's a beautiful spa, but it's like it's old school,
no,
you know?
No, it's not a beautiful spa. It just looks like a castle. So in the beginning, you'll start thinking, oh, castle, enchanted. You know, you go back to your Disney roots.
Yeah, yeah.
And then go on.
But I think the fixtures and fittings, they could have worked a little bit harder on that for the kind of money that they were expecting you to pay.
Like, that's the thing. Like, when the guy could break the toilet.
Yeah,
I was just like, firstly, when I saw the bed, I was like, it's a single bed.
Yeah, that's
like,
a problem for me.
I have not slept in a single bed.
Yeah, and I saw the light switch, and I was like, that's not the right kind of plug for this kind of money. And then, like, the shuttle from the airport. Like, what's up with that, like, 80s, like, 1983 Mercedes-Benz S-Class with no seatbelts in the back?
Oh, and it's cold as hell.
And okay. You know what I mean?
And it's cold as hell. And you have to wear white. So you get to this retreat, and you have to wear, like, all white. And,
all,
like, black people, we love all white. But not when it's, like, a white PJ and, like, long johns. Like, what the
Come on, I'm paying money for this, man.
Right?
Like, real money.
Like, give me some silk or some linen.
Yeah.
You know, like, let me feel like I
Let me ball a little bit. Can I wear a white hat with that? Or, you know,
okay, anyway, go on.
So the movie's basically about...
Sorry, we were just debunking why black people aren't in the movie.
Yeah, so now you know if you go watch it and you don't see someone that looks like you, that's why.
Yeah, just know why. Okay.
And then, so Cure for Wellness. Here's one thing, though, that I got as a message out of this.
Okay.
What is the cure for wellness?
Oh, you got a message. Good for you.
If you think about it, a cure for wellness is, you know how you actually do when you go to a spa and you're like, I just want a little bit of a facial.
Yeah,
I just feel like I could touch up on this and that.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're looking pretty good.
Yeah.
They do this whole facial and then they try and sell you these products and they tell you, you know, your skin is not hydrated enough. Are you moisturizing enough? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, I just bought products for like thousands of rands.
Yeah.
And now you're going to sell me more products, but just your products, which are going to give me the same look.
Pretty much.
And you are saying that I was ill when I was fine.
Yeah.
I was well.
Yeah.
And now you're going to cure my wellness.
Yeah.
Don't you find that sometimes, like, people who
that
go to the doctor
ironic.
Too much, you go to the doctor,
yeah.
you had a small niggle. And before you know it, you're coming out of there and you got, like, full-blown cancer.
Can I tell you something? I found out that I could crook the doctor system very young. Like, when my mom was not one of those parents who you cough and she's like, oh, baby, stay home. She, like, needed a proper reason for your ass to stay home.
Yeah.
So I would go to the doctor knowing good and while I'm healthy.
On your own?
No, like I'd go with her.
Like, no.
I was a very independent child.
Yeah.
So we'd get to the doctor, right? And I'd already know what to start mimicking in order, because I knew either way, as long as I say it.
Oh,
it
you
is
had Google there. As a kid. That's what
no,
as well.
I didn't.
You had
there
internet.
Was no Google. All there was intuition and survival.
Oh, okay.
I did not want to go to school.
Yeah.
And I'd go to the doctor and be like, no, my throat has been sore since like last week, Thursday.
Yeah.
But then I let it go and now it's back. And then my head is.
Was this a South Park doctor?
No.
You sounded like one of the characters from South Park right now. Is that how you sounded as a kid?
That's how
like
I sounded
you were
as
South
a
Park?
Kid.
Okay.
A lot of TV. So, so I'd go and I'd literally diagnose myself to the doctor and then they'd write me a sick note for like 3 days.
But that's how it works.
Yeah. So
you
I knew that.
So anyway, I took my dad to the movie because I thought it would be a good idea. And there's this one scene
I felt so bad for
where
dad.
The count or the baron or the whatever.
The leader of the cult.
Yeah, the leader of the cult, right? He tries to have sexual relations, forced sexual relations.
Yes.
Basically rape his daughter.
Yes.
Like from 300 years ago or something. Like, she's 300 years old, but she still looks like
18.
She doesn't even look 18. She looks like she's like 15.
Yeah.
All right. And then, like, he puts his hand between her thighs, and then he pulls it out and puts it to his nose.
Oh.
And that, for me, was like,
that was highly,
if I was by myself, that's cool, but I'm with my dad.
No, I think that's highly uncomfortable for everyone.
Yeah.
Just the fact that it's forced, right?
Yeah.
Everyone was cringing. We're like,
already we're cringing.
Because that
why you got a snippet as
the
well?
Movie, the problem is, the movie took so long to get to where
it
the Hollywood was going.
It was just a long intro and an ending.
By the time that happened, we were like, wait a goddamn it.
Yeah,
what is happening?
That was like, totally useless.
You know, it was a crazy, bizarre, perplexing movie that everyone should not go watch.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't want to like bring down the ratings for New Metro, but I mean, there are great movies out
Sir
there.
Kinnicle,
don't
were the ones
yeah,
who Sir
Kinnicle, yeah.
Let's not mention the other people.
I'm sorry.
Sorry about
I'm
that,
sorry, I'm sorry, Sir
She's
Kinnicle.
New to this.
Yeah, can we
we're
please?
Working on her.
I'm sorry, but can we please just get a better movie review next time?
Yeah, like to a better movie to review. Okay.
Like, I mean, there's so many Hidden Figures, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
Moonlight.
We're gonna want to go Moonlight. Like some Oscar nominated stuff. I don't know what the hell Cure for. I don't know why you guys bought it, actually. Like, why is it even here? Like,
okay.
That's a waste.
I think that's enough of a
I'm
rant.
I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. Sometimes
she doesn't mean
on
it.
The train, I
she's,
just decided.
She had a bump on her head as a child.
Clearly, sometimes I was diagnosing myself, well. So yeah. It's fine.
Nonetheless, we're getting to the exciting part now.
Yes. Why everyone is actually tuned in.
I hope you are tweeting us and you know, send us some questions that you would like us to ask Owen,
yes.
my agent. Did I mention that he's my agent? Well, he's my agent.
Well, a million times, see.
Yeah, that's why I get the big bucks, you know.
Because you keep answering your agent?
For. Yeah. Like, if you want to get a hold of me, just call my agent. Call Owen. Don't call those other guys.
But it sounds
good. There's no one else. I don't have anyone else
who's
taking care of my books. So if someone else,
it's
and his name is not Owen,
okay,
says they represent me, it's not true.
Oh, okay.
It's just simply not true.
Okay,
I'm warning you.
I mean, I don't know if you're getting paid for this, but okay.
I get paid
because you're
all
very
the time.
Much. You are punting Owen, and I mean, Owen is great. He's
well,
pretty amazing.
Kind of does handle my payments.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
like
I don't know. Is there like
money.
A late payment?
He's holding my
here?
Money right now.
Sounds all right. Like a bit of a late payment situation, yeah.
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
So welcome to the studio.
Yes.
How are you doing, Owen?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, speak right into the mic, please.
Okay. There we go.
There you go.
Start again.
You got a voice for this sort of thing, anyway. So, you know, tell me something. What made you get into the industry to become an agent? Most people want to be in front of the camera. They want to be doing that, you know.
Well, I really actually wanted to be in front of the camera.
Okay.
I mean, I born and bred in Durban. I moved up to Joburg and I studied after the film school and I majored in live performance to become an actor. And then, you know, I got my first kind of big acting gig, which was the sitcom on SABC One, City Sessler. And I played that crazy waiter. To Lou.
Oh yeah.
And
okay.
And that
back
was
in the day.
That was back in the day. This was 2005. I just finished studying, and for me, being an actor was kind of like, you know, in studio on call sort of 12 hours a day, 7 to 7. I was productive for like 45 minutes of the day, and also being like a white English speaking male, I was like, what is my next job going to kind of be, you know?
Like all the five parts on this dingo had already been taken.
You know what I mean? So and then the guys that I acted with were all friends of mine. We had all studied together. To me, Maren and Luke and all of them. Mm. And, you know, we all had agents, and all our agents, you know, back in the day, kind of, and still to the day, actually, kind of were sort of passive booking agents, you know.
Yeah.
They would kind of send you for the odd commercial and kind of, you know, and I was like, you know, we'd spend hours of, you know, time in the green room, and I sort of spoke to everyone and I said, guys, imagine if there was an agency that really kind of actively promoted your talent and kind of, you know, and did a little bit more, just a little bit more than what was currently on offer. And they were like, yo, why don't you start an agency? And then it kind of just started, you know. And that was what, 12 years ago. And I started the agency like at the end of the year of shooting that first season of City Sessler. And I mean, 12 years later, you know, originally I kind of just started representing the guys from City Sessler. City Sessler exploded on SABC One, and that was pretty cool. And you know, slowly sort of attracted other artists to come to me. And over the years I've kind of refined our business by, I guess, representing casting only top actors, top voiceover artists, and media personalities.
Okay. Yep. Now, you know, when I joined up, I was actually taken aback by, I know I've been with a number of agents, and for a time before I joined you, I was my own agent for about 3 years. I just gotten to a point where I was just tired of the same thing, and I'd meet some of the top agencies in South Africa, and there's a lot of promise and we'll do this for you, but they don't really do much, like you said, except wait for someone to call and then kind of ask you if you're available on that day. What is it that ONS Management specifically does differently?
Well,
without giving away too much of your
traits.
Well, no, I mean, I think it kind of makes sense. I mean, we probably represent a fifth of the artists that the next agency represents. So, I mean, we have a small amount of artists that we work with. It gives us enough time to really focus and to deal with the artists that we represent on a daily basis. I think that is the major problem of our entertainment industry at the moment. And I don't mean to badmouth, obviously, the agents around, but
yeah.
How can a talent agency exist with maybe three, maximum four agents that work in the agency, okay, that you must remember are not qualified to be agents, right?
Yes.
Most agents are always either failed actors, failed casting directors, production, etc.
Yeah, yeah.
So what do they know about the business of representing artists? Well, they all had to start somewhere. They started, a talent agency, however they did, and through experience and through over time, do they kind of learn how the industry works? Now, how can three or four talent agencies who work in any given agency, and there's some agency where there's only two agents, represent 400, 500, 600 people?
That's too many people.
It's too many people. Mm. How are you supposed to focus? Mm. You know, look, I mean, granted, there are in our country there are 11 languages. There's black, there's white, there's colored, there's Indian. There's certain demographics that have to be fulfilled by production. Television shows, drama series, commercials, and voiceovers, So, of course, as an agent, you want to be able to have access to those different, demographics and languages for voiceovers, et cetera, et cetera. But, I think we pride ourselves and we are moving forward. Every year is not just another year for us. We're going, 12 years ago, it was a very different agency that I used to run compared to now. And I'm getting a kick out of making more money being indicative of good jobs, for a smaller pool of talent.
I mean, talking about that pool of talent, you've got some of the top, it's a galaxy of stars on your wall. I mean, tell us about some of the top guys you represent. I know you've got Proverb, you've got Dumi Morake, you've got Tolesmo.
No, we don't represent Tolesmo anymore. We used to represent him.
Okay.
I mean, some artists come and go,
Let me not embarrass you.
It's all good.
Some of the guys come to mind that South Africans might
I have
not.
The privilege, I must say, I don't want to just rattle off a few names, but I mean, I have the privilege of representing artists such as yourself, Tumisho. Mm-hmm. We have Anele, Anele Mdoda, Tumi Morake, we have Paul Madiadie, Danae Mketsi, Wayne Van Rooyen, an actor
Scandal.
In Scandal.
Good guy.
Bongani Masondo, who's a fantastic, he's just such a great guy, and he's so talented. He's on Scheme Psalm.
Okay.
And he's also a fantastic voice artist.
And you've got the Goliaths as well, right?
We represent, so every artist is a different kind of business that we have. I always say, if we look at our board, in our agency, we've got a wall with all of our artists' pictures on that we refer to, on a daily basis, who's available. We make little notes next to them and that kind of thing. And so the Goliaths, Donovan Goliath, Jason Goliath, Nicholas Goliath, they have an excellent manager called Kate, who is kind of related, and she does an excellent job with their comedy and some of their campaign work, but we work very closely with, We do a lot of their on-camera things, sort of like their commercials, their voiceovers, and their campaigns as well. But we have a great synergy. And in fact, it's a great idea to talk, not too much about that, perhaps where our entertainment industry is going as far as talent management goes.
Please, let us know. What's happening?
The best deals, right? For example, Tumi Morake, right? Tumi Merike is represented by us, okay? Mm-hmm. We do her on-camera work, her television, her presenting, her voiceovers, her campaign work. But she also has a comedy manager called Osman, who I am in love with. He's a fantastic guy, not literally in love with.
Yeah, I mean, like, in love with, like, he does a great job.
He does a great job, yeah. We get very emotional in this interview, yeah, I suppose. Yeah. But, so he manages all her comedy work. And together, we are both working with one artist. And it's a fantastic experience. It's quite new. She's just recently joined Osman to do from Blue Blood. He does her comedy work. But we work so well together. And slowly but surely, our industry is growing where artists now...
We're all listening. We're listening.
Where
we're
going, like, at the moment, what? Right? Yeah. Where we're going at the moment is very exciting because there's so much international interest in our country. Our music scene is really exploding. Yeah. Our actors are exploding. Yeah. International television series, drama series, films that's been shooting in South Africa and use artists to shoot elsewhere as well in the world. Think about it. I mean, think about your A-list Hollywood actors, right? Or your artists, your musicians, your actors. Mm. They don't just have one agent, right? Mm. They've got a manager. They've got an agent. They've got a publicist. They've got a team of about 25, 30, 40 people that look after that brand.
It's important for that brand to make $20 million a movie because there's a lot of people to paychecks. Pay.
Well, there's a lot more money, I think. Yeah, I mean, then, you know, they kind of come dry at the end of it.
You know, I want to go back to that. But for me, that's what makes an industry. And that's what I have a problem with our industry, that sometimes I think, can you really call it an industry if the money that is going around in the particular industry, and I talk about local television, local film, the money is so low that basically all an actor can do is pay a commission to an agent and pay tax, and that's about it. But the only way to create an industry is when there is a publicist who is getting paid and has a thriving business because you have a thriving business. There is a lawyer who's getting paid and has a thriving business because you have a thriving business, a manager, so on and so forth. And in all of that, the entire industry, there's drivers, there's people who book accommodation. There's an industry that's created. An industry is not just we just make movies. It's everything around that industry. It's not just we make television. Yeah. There's locations. So we have to shoot somewhere. There's support services. That, for me, makes an industry. But with the shrinking industry that we have at the moment, where budgets are coming down, my first advert, I made probably sometimes 10 times what they're paying now. And that was nearly 20 years ago. And it saddens me because a lot of actors, and myself especially, we're going, there's just certain things we won't do anymore. I'm really not willing to do any more local stuff at the moment. I'm just like, don't call me for a local
TV show.
Can I give some kind
of explanation for this, right?
Yeah, please.
Okay, because you're right. The last 10 years, fees, especially for TV drama, TV series, especially from the SABC, have
multi-choice as well.
Remained the same.
I love you guys. I know you pay me for those DSTV commercials. Yeah, yeah.
But can I tell you why? It goes back to the talent agents that are on. Now, there are a few legitimate, very legitimate talent agents that really fight for their artists and are demanding and expecting to deal with proper contracts and all of that. But what most of the artists are doing is they're going, why should I give a commission to my agent when I can do it myself?
Okay.
So now there's a lot of artists that are involved in a lot of series, a lot of telenovelas, a lot of TV series that are shooting across the multi-choice platform, across ETV, across DSTV, that are doing things independently, right? Yeah. They do not understand their contracts, right? So they think if they're getting 50 grand a month, they're getting a lot, but they're working 20 days, 12-hour days.
If they're even getting that much.
Monday to Saturday, okay. But so slowly, over the last sort of decade, what I think has happened is that production companies, along with the pressure of maybe the economy and the major broadcasters such as the SABC, have been able to say, well, if you as a production company can't produce a series for this amount, it's fine, I'll get someone else to do it. Huh. And they find those people and they say, oh, we'll do it. And a lot of the time, I mean, I used to go to the SAFTAs, right? I used to know like 90% of the tables that used to be around the South African Film and Television Awards. I went to the SAFTAs maybe 2 years ago. Now I know 10%. Mm. It's these small little production companies that are taking the money, the small amount of money from the broadcasters, and they're producing these television series. And they, I've got such a small budget that the artists have a little budget.
But in
as
my
well.
Experience, it's also the big production companies where, you know, you get the big production companies, you're going, I've got five productions at once. I can afford to take this one and next to nothing. And I know that, in fact, every time I'm no longer on a series, it's because basically I'm like, the standards have to be like this, the pay has to be like this, and next season I know I'm not going to get that call. And I'm okay with that, because if I don't make that noise, who must make that noise in this industry?
But have you seen since, what, you remember 2005, 2006, 2007, just cast your mind back to what we used to see on television, ETV, SABC, and the multi-choice platforms. Think about what you see now when you flick over from SABC 1 to 2 to 3 to E to multi-choice to all the
local made productions.
Tell me about the quality that you
varying,
see.
Varying. Some quality is really great and some is shocking. Mostly shocking.
It's mostly shocking.
Yeah.
It's mostly shocking. There is the odd show that is that really stands out. It's really amazing and that kind of thing. But look at the quality. Like I'm talking about, I'm not talking about acting, right? I'm talking about production.
Which sometimes
value.
Is also very shocking.
I'm
by
talking
way.
About art department when you see a scene and there's a couch and there's no pictures hanging on the wall. That's what I'm, that's how bad I'm talking that it is. Or am I wrong?
No, you're right. I mean, as an actor, I've had art department many times ask me to bring my car, or can I bring and wardrobes and can
wardrobe.
You bring your clothes?
Yeah.
Can we shoot this? Can you help us get a location because we have no budget? You know, we literally have 15,000 to shoot this entire 13 episode. Production.
But how does this change? Like, how do you change it? Instead of, you know, like right now we're addressing all the problems, but how do we change it as people in the industry?
I think, I definitely think it's an awareness that has to take place. I mean, all artists need to understand. Most actors that I represent that are on shows are sort of unhappy with regards to how things are done. I mean, schedules are late. I mean, you know, right from the beginning, you know, I mean, shows are commissioned.
I mean, I was on a show where everything was late. It was 7 o'clock in the morning. We're on set, ready to shoot. We still don't have a script, let alone a schedule.
A script? Damn.
Yeah. Okay.
Director doesn't have a script either. Oh. So and what are we gonna shoot?
Just shoot from the hip. To me, Shaw, you know. This.
And you send an email. You write something. And you complain. And you know, next season or next month, it's like, sorry, we're not renewing your contract.
Oh man.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, I just go back to what's currently on at the moment. I mean, what you watch, and I don't know what it is. I think maybe the economy has affected the, look, I think there's a lot of corruption. The other day, and this has to be said, and maybe this is a great platform to set because this burns me. This keeps me up at night. And I don't know who to tell.
You know,
tell us.
Recently, right? So there's a couple of talent agencies around that kind of, speak to each other and say watch out for this production or what have you. Last year there was a production on the SABC, right? And this producer who owned the production company, her production company owner and producer of the show, apparently went bankrupt, right? And he couldn't pay his actors, and that was it. That was gone. This same producer, okay, I don't know who it is. I wouldn't, if I knew, I wouldn't say anything anyway. But this particular producer has apparently now formed another production company, is producing, I think it's in production right now, another show.
Wow.
How can that be? So another talent agency told me this, right? And I said, they said, do you have anyone on the show? And I said, no. But I said, if I do, and maybe if you have, what you should do is tell all your actors that are part of this new production that, you know, remind them obviously of what happened last year, and get all those other actors from last year to go and flip and protest outside on their first day of shoots and say, how can
sure
you be
impossible.
Going into another production
Make sure it's
company?
Impossible to shoot.
But Tamisha, the scary thing is that these people that have screwed up, and are in the wrong. You see what cars they're driving around. You see what houses, where they're going on holiday, etc., etc. It wasn't a legitimate bankrupt. We didn't know how to handle our money. They are stealing the artist's money.
Wow.
But isn't the problem that a lot of people are so desperate to get into this industry? You know, so many people, especially talent-wise, they don't know their value. They don't. They just
that's
want,
a big problem.
They get paid in. Oh my gosh, the industry term exposure.
They get paid in exposure.
You know? And a lot of them actually fall for that myth that if I can appear in as many shows as possible, then people will recognize my talent and
one day start paying me in real money, which I can use at Woolworths.
Yes. so that I don't have to get to the Pick and Pay teller and be like, can I get this loaf of bread for exposure?
Yeah, and they're like, we don't use exposure, we use rands. I don't care if you're on Issy Dingo.
But isn't that it? The fact that there's so many barriers to entry, that when young people get into this industry,
there should be barriers to entry in any thriving, in any successful industry. And those barriers are put there so that only the very serious, only the very passionate make it to the top. You don't just go to varsity and decide, you know what, I know I didn't do maths and science, but I'd really like to do this doctor thing, because I know how to cut up, you know, I know how to carve up a roast. That's not and a lot of people look at this industry as, well, I couldn't be a doctor, I couldn't be an accountant, I certainly can't be a lawyer, I can hardly read, but you know what, I did amateur dramatics. Or
do you think so?
I think it looks so easy. I think I should be part of that.
No, I beg to differ. I think when people want to get into acting, usually it's the fame element. People want to be famous, and
it's a bit of both of you. It's definitely you know, a lot of people that are at work hating their jobs, whether they're working at a call center or whether they're an accountant or what have you, or being a lawyer or whatever. Yeah. Okay,
I think this thing looks easy,
and they think and they go, oh, I hate my life. You know, I'm so depressed. What else can I do? Oh my word! You know, I remember getting a good round of applause when I was in grade 10. You know, playing Antonio in Hamlet, which has like 3 or 4 scenes on stage, you know. Yeah. And so then they start and they go, I could do some voiceovers. I could maybe
People
do
People say
some
I've got a good voice all the time. And you're like, yeah, that's not what it is. That's not what it takes to be a voice artist.
No, yeah. I mean, we get it all the time, you know. Yeah. But then it's also, you know, young people who also want to sort of, you know, become an actor, maybe for the fame or for the wrong reasons. Those people are usually chewed up and thrown out anyway, you know, as soon as possible. But Tamisha's right. You know, I mean, if people are serious about being an actor or a musician or what have you, guys, it's harder than becoming a doctor, or it's harder than, you know, because not only do you have to study for it. I get calls from people saying, I want to be an actor. You know, can you, I've got some headshots. Can you start sending me to auditions? And I said, absolutely not. Our absolute number one requirement is at least 3 years of studying at, you know, either UCT or at film school like AFTA or
Pretoria Tech has got I don't know what they're called now. Pretoria University's also got.
Okay, so as long as you've studied. Actually.
City Varsity's got something.
Okay, so you just need like a diploma or a qualification.
And in fact, let's get into that. I mean, what are the criteria for you? Yes. I mean, apart from, I said, you've got a galaxy of you are the Real Madrid, Barcelona of South African, I suppose,
talent
representatives. What does it take to get on the books of Owen?
Right now, it's very different to a while ago. You know, I mean, I want to sort of almost exclude myself from other talent agencies.
I'm lucky to have made it. I'm glad I got in early.
Just by the way, I was rejected, I'm sure.
Tamisha, when you came around like sort of two and a half years ago, maybe?
That was 2015.
2015,
end of 2015,
right?
Yeah.
You set a benchmark. Every artist that joins us, you know, I learned things from you. You've been in the industry almost longer than I've been a talent agent for. You know, I've got huge respect for you. And it's like that with the other artists we represent. So the other artists, I mean, who are we? Who is ONS Management? ONS Management is the artist that we represent.
Yeah, that's true.
If you walk into my agency and next to your picture, you see someone that you have no idea who...
Who the hell is that guy next to my picture
and I go,
taking up that space?
And I say, yeah, no, he's done nothing. You know, he's
just this cool kid. You know, I liked his vibe.
Yeah, you know.
There's a lot to be said about a vibe. Stop it.
Really?
No, I'm saying though, like, I mean, there are certain people who are very talented. Maybe not on Tamisha's talent level or accomplishment level.
I think talent is one thing.
That deserve that shot at being represented by the best.
No, but I think talent is one thing.
Okay.
But talent is like a rough diamond.
Yes.
Until it's polished and until it's cut, it's not worth a lot. And it can be very easily exploited. So,
well, that's a good
I say this. I say this. If you are talented and you believe so much in your talent, do something about it. Invest in that talent. Go go and do a short course if you must. Just do a short course to know what is expected of you once you get on set, to know what is expected of you, just to even to get the confidence once you walk into a studio and you want to do a voiceover. For nothing else. Why? Because when you're on set, we don't have time to teach you.
Oh, yes.
And now you're holding everybody up, and you and your talent, because sometimes it's not just about talent, it's about diligence.
Yeah.
You know, hitting your mark is not about how talented you are. It's about you just have refined that skill.
Yeah.
You are talking and walking and you stop right there without having to look down. If you cannot do that, you should not be in a movie.
Wow, I like that.
Done deal. Sorry, you were going on, Owen. I'd love to hear your points as well.
No, but that's incredibly important, I think, you know. So you were saying that, you know, your books have a certain caliber of artists.
Yeah, so who do we represent? Well, at this point, and it's, I think we're going to get more sort of, not stricter. When I say stricter, I mean sort of not taking on artists that have just finished studying. And this is another reason why we don't take artists that have just finished studying, because people that have just finished studying and they are now going to be an actor and a voice artist or a presenter or what have you, they come to an agency, their first agency, after about 6 months, they go, no, you're not doing enough for me, I'm going to another agent. Meanwhile, they have got a false perception of how the industry actually is. It is slow. You have to come to the party. You have to be going to further workshops. You've got to be,
got to be calling.
You've got to be calling. Yeah, you've got to hassle your agents and say, listen, these are my 10 best directors locally. I want you to send a CV to them. Or, you know, they just sit and go, okay, I've studied now, I'm an actor.
Yeah,
now
you
what?
You
know,
yeah.
You're only going to go to castings for commercials. You're only going to go to castings for television series and sitcom and that kind of thing. For film, every now and then. Remember, there's always briefs coming out, but you are specific. You are a 21-year-old black male that can only speak Zulu and English.
Okay.
You're going to be excluded from the Sotho roles. You're going to be excluded from, you know what I mean? So when someone phones and says, what's been going on? You go, well, there's things that are happening, but there's nothing that you're specifically right for.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Here's the other thing. Are there a lot of briefs still coming in every day like they used to be? I mean, there was a time when you could audition every day as a young actor. I remember when I was starting out, you could go to an audition every single day. I went to over 100 auditions in my first year. Yeah, I got rejected for all of them, but it was good for my character. But now, the worst thing is there aren't even that many happening.
Yes.
Do you know what it is? More so than ever, the production companies that are getting commissioned by the broadcasters, the reason why they're getting commissioned is because they've already pitched or they've already proposed their idea. So, for example, if it's a telenovela for Mzansi Magic, you've got the producers that have pitched for that idea, and they go, in part of their pitch, I've got this actor, he's going to play the leads, I've got these actors as well, and they go with six. And in fact, they're even getting artists to sign, sort of like, if this goes ahead, I will be a part of the show. So it's already a done deal. And then the production, the producers and people from the production don't send out casting briefs for the leading roles because they've already got them, you know. Again, it's a very different space that we're in now. As an actor, it's about this phone of yours. It's about connecting.
How vital is social media for an actor nowadays?
Well, I keep on hearing from people saying, you know, they went to an audition for a presenting gig or something, and they were asked what their social media followers were like. How many followers do they have on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook? And that, how dare them ask me that? Surely it's about my talent. Well, this is the real world. It's going to get more about that. It is about how many social media. It's how interesting you are. It's because you are going to tweet about the show an hour before it starts on Friday night at 7 o'clock, and we want people to follow. You know what I mean? It's essential that we focus on social media.
Yeah.
It's difficult to do, but it's definitely, you've got to be interesting. You've got to be unique. You've got to be active.
There used to be that notion, and I suppose my generation, the old school actors, that, you know, I'm talented. My talent will speak for myself. I'll only do interviews if it's about the work. And now we're seeing more of the reality star slash actor, presenter, comedian, voice artist. Do you see that trend going forward becoming more of a requisite where you're more out there, you're more brand, you're more celebrity if you want to stay in the industry?
I think Yeah, you know, I sometimes question the words brand and celebrity and that kind of thing. And only because I've seen a lot of people become that and then they rely on that and then it doesn't carry on for them like that. I think it's I think as an artist, you know, whether you're a musician or whether you're an actor or whether you whoever, if you're in entertainment, I think it's always about your journey and it's always about continuing that hunger. And I think as we get older, we also lose it a bit, you know. I met an actress, a very, 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 very famous actress who has acted alongside with A-list Hollywood celebrity actresses like Angelina Jolie. So that a South African woman, right?
Is she young?
I met her.
She good looking?
Yeah, she lives in South Africa.
Yeah. I'm single-ish.
No, no, no.
Owen could also become your dating?
Yeah, yeah, hook me up.
No, she's a little bit older than you. Oh, might be into that.
Oh, yeah, cougar.
Yeah. She's in like her 50s, right? And
no,
I met with her, Tumisho. I met with this woman, right? And I was so excited. I was like, wow, you know, she's done all this stuff before. And now she's meeting me to continue her career. And I met with her and I sat down with her and had a great chat. Like, she's a really nice person. But there's something off. There's something off. And the something off was, this is what I've done. This attitude of like, now I need, you know, this is me. And also like quite rude to like the waitress and like,
I know what you're talking about.
Those kind of things, you know. And I was just like,
I think I know exactly.
And I walked away. I walked away from the meeting and I really enjoyed it. You know, I really was like, but something was off and it kept me up. And I'm at the space now where 12 years ago, I was like, oh, represent anyone, anything, you know, just to, you know. And I'm like, doesn't gel with my vibe. And I tell you right now,
I'm so happy you said that.
My vibe.
Why? Like the vibe.
The thing is, no, because
the vibe is important because
be
my
passionate.
Vibe is the same vibe that directors and producers, especially the younger producers, they want to be able to access that older talented artist. They don't want to feel like, oh my God, that's such a diva. Now we've got to like run around. They want to work and they want to get their hands dirty and they want everyone to get their hands dirty. And is this person going to get their hands dirty? Probably not.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so, and also, I must mention this as well. So I did quite a lot of thinking after this meeting and why. Was I up at night with this knot in my stomach about not wanting to represent this amazing person? And I feel like when you get famous, right, a lot of artists that get famous, you mingle in certain circles, right, because you're on television and you you know, everyone knows who you are.
You got to the Sona.
Yeah, exactly. You go to Parliament, whatever. But now you tell me if you agree with this, Tumisho.
It's boring. Don't go.
You tell me if you agree with this, right? So you mingle with a lot of people and all of a sudden you feel pressured because the people that you mingle with on other industries, right?
Yeah, they're in the and in their world. Industries, they're like,
guys,
they're balling.
They are climbing the corporate ladder. They are being promoted. They are doing
this. Making money.
Now, what are you as an artist in South Africa whose economy has...
you're struggling to pay off the polo.
The rates have been the same for 10 years, right?
That you owned for 10 years.
You're feeling the pressure of what have you. You start feeling uncomfortable, you know, and it starts affecting your work.
Oh, okay.
It's very tough.
I didn't think of that.
But not Tumisho Mashaba, because Tumisho Mashaba...
But he's been balling.
Have I? I could do with some petrol money, though.
Well, if you didn't get divorced so many times, then maybe you see where your money goes.
I stay out of but
you know, it is a costly exercise. It is slightly costly.
Just don't get married next time, for goodness sake.
Shut up. You're invited to the next one. You're invited.
I'll be there because I know it's going to be a really
good
party.
And you like a good party. I know you're going to be there. You're going to be there.
I'm just saying, stop getting married. As a good friend, for now, while there's no invite.
For now. Just make some money first, right? It costs money. No, but
let's give guests like their final like tidbits to take home from this, you know, from this interview.
I was going to say, there's this thing, there's this notion that who represents you is really important. The politics of who represents you.
In terms of like black, white.
Black, white. Is it a black male? Is it a white male? Is it a white female? Is it a black female? Who represents you? Who walks into the room and speaks to the other people who now have to get this message? Is that important still?
You know, you mentioned it earlier before we started the show, you know, that you were going to, that we were going to speak about this. And I it's the first time I've thought about it, you know. I wonder, I mean, if I think about all the talent agents that exist in Johannesburg, I would say they're 90% white female that are talent agency owners. I wonder why there are not any black talent agencies or Indian or I mean, there's black and white and Indian and colored that work as talent agents, but the ones that are owned, I don't know.
I think specifically, especially when it comes to the corporate gigs, you know, either being endorsed by a brand, getting that big campaign, is that something that is important? Because from my experience, and it's very limited, just my own limited experience, I've seen that whoever walks into that room and talks to those guys in marketing makes a whole difference whether you get that deal, you don't get that deal, and how much you get out of that deal.
Look, I think what you're saying is valid, but I also think that it depends on the artist. Whoever the marketing department of a big cell phone company or a car or an insurance brand wants an artist to be their ambassador, I think it's all about that artist.
Yeah.
And I think they have to deal with whoever the talent agent is. They have to deal with it, whether what color that person is or what gender or what age.
Yeah.
It's up to that person to negotiate that deal, you know. I don't think it has, I mean, I think most of the meetings that I've been in, I mean, if it is like a black, white, Indian thing, like if, I don't know what you're saying, like is it better if you are the CEO of, say, MTN,
and I come in as... you're representing me.
No,
I'm like, why is Dumisho not represented by a Xhosa or Tswana?
No, I'm saying like, okay, so Joe Bloggs is white, right? Yeah, and he is the CEO of MTN, and I go in there and I talk on your behalf.
And like, talk to your people.
Do you think I've got like a better...
Talk to your people. Like, tell them.
Talk to your white people.
tell the white community I fit in. I'm doing this.
I'm a good oak. Just tell them I'm a good oak.
Look, I'll tell you what. I've gone into a lot of meetings with an artist for a meeting, and I'm kind of sidelined. I mean, it's just the CEO, whether they're black, white, or whatever, talking to the black, white, whatever, you know? And so I just make notes and kind of work out exactly what the artist's obligations are and come up with a fair fee.
Well, thanks for coming in. We've run out of time. I could ask you questions for the rest of the day, but we've got another show coming. Maybe we should close. You said tidbits. What would you love to know, Candice, that you think other people would love to know that Owen can answer right now?
For me, it would be, which steps can I take as a beginner in the industry? Let's say someone who's just started out in the industry, and of course, we're working towards being represented by someone like you.
Yeah.
What are the steps we can take in the meantime before you would represent us?
Okay, well, other than asking your family and friends whether they think you have talent, because they're always going to tell you that you're extremely talented, maybe find someone that's not family and friends, someone that maybe is in the industry, that would be first prize, and ask them to go, to say, look, watch me do a monologue. Okay, tell me if you think I've got any talent.
Yeah.
Listen to my voiceover demos that I've listened to radio, I've written them out. Tell me what you think. Do you think you could hear me on radio? Give me some accurate. And if there's any positivity around that, then I would definitely suggest doing like a short course or, and there's a lot of them. You just have to get onto Google and find out acting workshops. I know SAGA, the South African Guild of Artists, they go to the SAGA website online. They can check out when there's casting technique kind of things.
Yeah.
Get involved, take your cell phone, put the camera facing you, do a little excerpt from an existing film or that everyone might know and pop that online and send me that link. Everyone says you want to be an actor. I'm like, well, who are you? What do you look like? What can you do? And send that to agents. Send some footage. We've all got cell phones. We can all upload. You can go to a coffee shop with a free Wi-Fi. But it's but the most important thing is, if you want to be a successful working artist in South Africa, I'm finishing off now to me show, you can't just be one thing.
Hell no.
You'll
starve.
I always say, out of five things, you have to have at least three of these. And that's acting for television, film, theater. Okay. Voiceover ability.
Okay.
Presenting.
Okay.
Singing and dancing.
Okay.
Okay. And a look.
Oh.
Some kind of look. If you've got any of those three things out of those five things that I've listed, that means that you're going to be consistently working. And that's who we want to deal with. We don't want to book one person a job once a year.
Oh, wow. I love that. Thank you, guys.
Tuso, you cannot get tired of accounting and think that Owen's going to hook you up. It's not going to happen, okay? But thanks for writing in, Tuso on Twitter. We're out of here. I'll see you guys next week with more of the Weekly Mashup. Thank you for joining us. CliffCentral.com.